and resources at naturalhigh.org. Paid for by Catholic Charities of Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster.
WJFF Jeffersonville.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report highlights the Eta Aquarid meteor shower. Brian Rolf from Marley's Mushrooms and Wild Foods in Milford, Pennsylvania, shares his inspiration, knowledge, and passion about growing mushrooms. All of that coming up on today's Farm and Country, but first, news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The International Criminal Court in The Hague is facing increasing pressure following reports of potential arrest warrants for Israeli and Hamas officials over the war in Gaza. Terry Schultz reports the court has been investigating alleged crimes in the Palestinian territories of Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem since 2021.
ICC Chief Prosecutor Karim Khan issued a statement on social media insisting that all attempts to impede, intimidate, or improperly influence the court's officers must cease immediately. While Khan did not name who was exerting the pressure, the U.S. and Israel have blasted reports the court may issue arrest warrants against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli officials, in addition to Hamas, over the war in Gaza. Neither the U.S. nor Israel belong to the court, but the Palestinian territories joined in 2015. The Belgian Foreign Ministry issued a rebuke to ICC critics on X, saying the court plays a fundamental role in the fight against impunity and must be able to act and carry out its functions independently, without interference. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz.
The Japanese embassy has issued a slight rebuke of President Biden for referring to Japan as xenophobic. The BBC's Will Leonardo reports the Japanese government says the remarks were, quote, unfortunate.
While making a point about immigration's effect on the U.S. economy, Biden said Japan, alongside Russia, China and India, was struggling because it was xenophobic and anti-immigrant. American officials have sought to downplay his words in recent days, but Tokyo clearly believed an official response was needed. It said the unfortunate comment by the leader of its closest ally had misunderstood Japanese policy.
That's the BBC's Will Leonardo reporting. Kids who were brought to the United States illegally as children will have access to federally subsidized health plans for the first time this fall. NPR's Selena Simmons-Duffin reports the Biden administration estimates that 100,000 uninsured people could get coverage.
The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals has been subject to many legal challenges over the years. There are currently more than 500,000 recipients of DACA, as the program is known. Many have health insurance through their jobs, but those who don't are likely to be uninsured and therefore have to delay or forego medical appointments. Now, the Biden administration is allowing DACA recipients to shop for plans on healthcare.gov and the state-based marketplaces for the first time. The new rule takes effect in November, in time for open enrollment. Biden has made healthcare affordability a centerpiece of his reelection bid. In a statement, the Trump campaign described the new rule as, quote, handouts for illegal immigrants, unquote, and said it was unsustainable. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
This is NPR News in Washington.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm your show host, Rosie Starr. On today's show, Brian Rolf from Marley's Mushrooms and Wild Foods in Milford, Pennsylvania, shares his inspiration, knowledge, and passion about growing mushrooms. But first, here is Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
Country. I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk.
The Eta Aquarii meteor shower will reach its peak tomorrow morning. The shower has a broad peak, so the next couple mornings will also be a good time to watch. Aquarius will be low in the east before dawn, but the meteors will appear in all parts of the sky. Given dark skies, the Eta Aquarii will produce 10 to 20 meteors per hour. But for our listening area, the number of meteors will be fewer, as the Aquarii will favor more southerly latitudes. The further south you go, the later into the morning the sun will rise. The later sunrise means more dark time to watch for meteors and will allow Aquarius to climb higher in the sky. Aquarius rises in the early morning hours and does not climb very high in the sky. It is a difficult constellation to pick out, as none of the stars in the constellation are very bright and the stars do not form a distinct pattern. Unlike last year, when the meteor shower coincided with the full moon, dampening the display, this year's shower coincides with the new moon, yielding favorable skies. The thin, waning crescent moon will rise around 4:30 a.m. tomorrow and will not impact viewing conditions. The Aquarian meteors are bits and pieces of the famous Comet Halley. This will be the first of two times Earth crosses the path of Comet Halley, with the other time being late October. Look to the east in the hours before sunrise over the next several days for your chance to catch an early morning meteor shower. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard, reminding you to keep looking up.
For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr, speaking by telephone with Brian Roth from Marley's Mushrooms and Wild Foods, which is located in Milford, Pennsylvania. Brian, welcome to Radio Catskill.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Before we begin our conversation on our topic of beginner farmers, please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background that led you to Marley's Mushrooms and Wild Food.
Well, as you mentioned, my name is Brian Roth. I reside in Milford, Pennsylvania. I've been interested in the outdoors and mycology for ever, really, since I was a little boy. I grew up in Montague, New Jersey, and spent a lot of times outdoors exploring and learning about plants and mushrooms and trees. And that just developed a passion, and I followed through with it. And later on in life, I had a long career in the medical field and made a switch over to mushroom farming. And it's become a real passion, and originally started out as a hobby, and it just grew right into a business, which my children have become involved in. I became certified in wild mushrooms through Penn State and took a master's program at Cornell University with the mushroom cultivation and forest pathology. And we developed a business here in Milford, Pennsylvania, and we grow 14 different kinds of gourmet mushrooms, and we wild forage wild mushrooms and bring them to market.
You have a presence in the farm markets. What markets do you sell in?
Right now, we're currently in Berryville Farmers Market. We're at the Calicoon Farmers Market, Pawley, Honesdale, Milford, Port Jervis, and we're back at Mamikating again this year. So we have quite a few markets. Those are the farmers markets in this area. We used to be out in the East Stroudsburg area, Nazareth, Macungie, and that was a few years ago. And now we've actually spread to this side where, you know, where we're located, and then up through the Catskills and in New York State.
Do you feel that mushrooms are an agricultural product?
Oh, absolutely. Pennsylvania is known for them as the mushroom capital. It's one of our huge exports and one of the main things we produce here. Most people don't realize that or are aware that Pennsylvania is the mushroom capital. Kennett Square is where all the mushroom farms are. And then we have all the smaller farms spread out throughout the state, like ours and some of our friends that we know that grow throughout the state in different counties.
Do you grow mushrooms hydroponically or use another method?
Mushrooms are living organisms. They're single-cell living organisms. They're grown through cultures or spores. and substrate, inoculated substrate. We don't use a hydroponic method. What we use personally here on the farm is the hardwood fuel pellets, the hardwood substrate blocks. We inoculate the blocks and we create grow blocks. It's like a medium, and it's inoculated, and then the substrate spreads for our growing. We have different methods as well. We have some that we plug. They have inoculated dowels, and we drive those into hardwoods or whatever source that the mushroom uses as it grows to steal nutrients. We also have mushroom beds where we take hardwood wood chips and put them outdoors into beds and then inoculate those beds with the substrate as well.
I'm hearing some talk about urban farming. Do you fall into this style of food production?
Pretty much in a sense. I mean, it's a operation that is based at our home, so it's a working farm, and we're within the community. I know of a farm in Brooklyn that was one of the first urban farms in Brooklyn, and they do the same. They do mushroom growing. So this operation, mushroom farming, it could be done in an urban farming environment or right in your home, out in the country, anywhere, really. But this does fall in that category.
I see that the title of your business is Marley's Mushrooms and Wild Foods. What do you categorize as wild foods?
With the wild foods, we have a certification in wild mushrooms, which we obtained through Mushroom Mountain University. And we're certified to bring wild mushrooms to market. We're wild mushroom identifiers. I have a certification in wild mushroom identification. And I've been approved by the state and the Board of Health to go out into nature, identify choice edible mushrooms, and bring them direct to market to consumers. And then that's the wild mushroom side of it. And then wild foods could be pawpaw, which is an indigenous native fruit of North America. It grows along the Catskills from Tennessee right up into Pennsylvania. We bring those to market. We work with foragers along the coast to bring sea beans from the coastline to market. We have wild ramps that we harvest and bring to market as well. Fiddleheads or ostrich fern. It's an edible fern that we bring to market. So there's lots of wild foods right outside in nature that most people either experienced when they were young and then never had access to it again, or they've never experienced it. And we bring the healthy food from nature right to the table.
Yes, I see from your website that Marley's Mushrooms offers a diversity of services. You have educational walks. Would you like to talk about that?
We do a lot of different education. We do walks for homeschools. We do events for libraries. We do private walks and public walks where you can contact us. And if you join us on a public walk, we go out to a local park in the area and we do a mushroom identification and tree identification and talk about the relationship between the fungi and the forest pathology and nature and their role. We also teach mushroom growing, how to grow at home, mushroom beds. We teach mushroom cooking with mushroom classes as well. Yeah, we have a lot of education that we offer and different things. We work with PEAK, a Pocono Environmental Education Center, and occasionally go over there and do walks as well down in with the National Park Service for bioluminescent mushroom walks at night for different mushrooms that may glow under different environments, under UV light. So, yeah, we have different programs that we offer as well as just selling mushrooms or growing mushrooms.
And you also offer recipes. I can see that on your website, too. They all look delicious.
Yes, thank you. We have a great help with my brother here. He is a vegan, so we have vegan options and a whole different offering of recipes, and we bring that to market as well. We help people pair mushrooms with different foods and offer different cooking techniques online and right at market.
And you mentioned that you have some medical experience in your background. People are relying on mushrooms for medicine. Are you involved in that?
Yes, we have a whole medicinal mushroom line where we take the medicinal mushrooms
We grow some and we forage some as well. Mushrooms have been used for centuries for medicinal purpose. We have turkey's tail, shiitake, lion's mane, cordyceps, chaga. All these mushrooms, different mushrooms, support different functions within the body. Reishi is really good for cardiovascular health. Turkey tail is good for your immune system. Lion's mane is really good for your brain. Cordyceps are great for uptake in your oxygen, recent oxygen uptake. So we make tinctures, and we sell the powders, and we teach people how to use the mushrooms, not just for eating purposes or culinary purposes, but how to incorporate in their daily life to improve their overall health.
The beginner farmer is not necessarily young. They include folks shifting careers from other professions. And a beginner farmer is active in agriculture for 10 years or less. Does that describe you?
Yes. I moved to Pennsylvania in 2012, and I began the hobby of mushroom growing and gave it a dabble about 2014, and then around 2017, we really started the business and really got involved with learning the whole industry and going to school and learning how to grow and then getting involved with the community and offering different programs and education to really bring education to people that haven't been exposed to the world of mycology before. And with it being a new career, and a new lifestyle, like it was always a passion, but to really take it on full, it was a new adventure.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you experienced while entering this field?
There's a lot of information out there for mushrooms and for mycology. So it was trying to find the right information. Fear was a big thing, the unknown, wondering if I was going to succeed or not. That seemed to be a big part of it, and learning just to take the jump and diving right into it, as well as we had the pandemic for a while, so that put a little damper on getting some of the products that we needed. And then we had, with the pandemic, the whole shift in how markets functioned, and wasn't sure if that was ever going to shift back. Having people come directly to us and being out in the public during markets, learning different ways to function with the whole business. It definitely was a challenge. When we started out, we didn't have any of those concerns, and then that definitely threw a curveball. But besides that, learning, inoculating and getting bad batches or things not taken off, and then feeling like a failure, and then just trying until we got it right.
What were your goals as you began to farm?
My goals for the whole farm really was to bring mushrooms to the Pike County area. There wasn't really a mushroom farm in this area at that time, and I had such an interest in it and knew other farmers further out, as I mentioned, Pennsylvania being the mushroom capital. And when I took my certification class out at Penn State and saw all the different stuff that was going on with mushrooms out there, I wanted to bring that out here. I wanted people to be able to have gourmet mushrooms that they couldn't find in the store, access to them, as well as the medicinal end of it as well. Have people exposed to the health benefits of mushrooms and just the exposure, really, of how important mushrooms are. They're the beginning and end. They're very, very important for the environment, for breaking down leaf litter and trees and taking out diseased trees. And they play an important role, and I think it's something that hasn't really been studied or looked at. It's just overlooked a lot, and there's been always a big fear of mushrooms. Always people think they're poisonous, you can't touch them, but it's not true. And mushrooms are really interesting and fascinating, and I think they should be studied more.
The National Young Farmers Coalition demographic, there's some stats that show that beginner farmers care about sustainability and climate. With the inconsistencies of the climate, does that affect your business or your product?
It does affect the wild part of our business and the sustainability end of it as well. Like, I see a lot of commercial businesses that come in and they'll over-harvest, whether it's wild mushrooms or it's ramps or other wild foods. And that's a big part of our business, too, is teaching people ethical foraging and sustainable practices so you don't wipe stuff completely off the map. And we do see that where people will from outside this area that may have commercial license or maybe they don't. And there's a medicinal mushroom that grows in abundance in our area, and it grows in skip years where 1 year it'll be there and next year it doesn't grow there and then it comes back. And they'll come and they'll just take every mushroom off the tree. So we see that, and we teach that the importance of being an ethical forager. And with the climate end of it as well, different seasons have been shorter. Different mushroom seasons have been shorter. They've been starting much later. Excessive rain as well has definitely affected seasons. So, yeah, I definitely see the environmental impact as well on the industry and on the environment for mushrooms.
For a lot of beginner farmers, there's a barrier that might be issues with land access. Did you have any of that experience?
On the wild end, I would say yes. On the gourmet end of our mushroom business, no, because we grow indoors in climate-controlled facilities right here at home on the farm. But the wild end of it, yes, because there's rules and regulations. The mushroom industry is very regulated. And as far as where you can forage, and you have to be certified in most states, a lot of places are restricted, and that's something you respect and obey, but it limits your access to where you can forage. And with the influx of different commercial foragers and just people out there, it limits the amount of area that you're able to go to.
And how about financially? Did you have any barriers to financial startup access or loan discrimination?
No, there was no loan discrimination or trouble with that. Most of it was self-funded. And then the mushroom industry is very large. And once you get involved in this industry and make connections with people, they are really supportive and they want to see you grow and see you succeed. It's a good network. It's a good industry as far as that goes. But other than that, I didn't have any other issues.
What policies can help beginner farmers break down the barriers that they experience?
That's a good question. More research and more access to grants, more information as far as that goes. I think it might be would have been a little easier for me to get going if the information was out about funding for beginner farmers or grants, or there was more funding for it. I found there is some information, but it was limited.
Do you see yourself sharing knowledge into the future with beginner farmers? Do you have an apprentice program to help share knowledge with other beginner farmers?
Well, as I mentioned, we have the program where we teach people how to grow. So anybody that's interested can contact us, and we're all about education. Anybody that asks us questions, we have a lot of customers that are attempting to grow at home and they'll ask us advice. And it's very important for us to share the knowledge that we have obtained so people can in turn spread the knowledge of mushrooms and get involved in the industry and the passion as well.
Who do you see as the future of farming in our area, in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania?
That I'm not sure. It's a huge industry, and there's a lot of different avenues, a lot of different farms. You have the produce farms, you have the hydroponic growers, you have some mushroom farmers as well, a lot of beef, and just a lot of different things going on, a lot of different people trying new things. I really don't know who would be the leader, or I think everybody's making a good effort to learn new things and expand the industry and bring the best product they can to market.
Well, before we close, would you like to add your professional knowledge with insight on the topics, or maybe something, a story, a personal story you'd like to share that I haven't addressed?
The most important thing that I found with getting involved in this and becoming a farmer and making a clear change was to not let the fear hold me back. You know, I mentioned it once, but you know, it was the most important thing. It was a new adventure, and there's a lot of information, and at times it can be overwhelming, and you never know what's going to happen. You could be running real smooth, and something can just change. It doesn't mean that it's over. You just get back up and just keep on pushing. There's a lot of support out there as well. And when you think that there isn't, it's the whole industry is filled with people that are willing to help you. Even if it's not a mushroom farmer, there's farmers on our markets that have given us advice and tips, stuff that they've learned being in business for years of whatever farm that they're doing and farming. And it's been a really nice experience. It's a nice community of people that seem to help each other out. So don't be afraid and just learn and follow your passion. If it's something that you're passionate about and you enjoy, farming can be very, very, very rewarding.
I've heard that across the board from other farmers and different aspects of agriculture. It's nice to hear it consistently. How would folks contact you for more information about your products and your services?
Well, they can always find us at one of our local farmers markets, Berryville, Milford, Port Jervis, Calicoon, Honesdale, Hawley, Mammoth Hating, and other farmers markets around. We have that listed on our website, which is marleysmushroomsandwildfoods.com. We have a Facebook page, which is also Marley's Mushrooms and Wild Foods. We have an Instagram, which is Marley's Mushrooms, or you can call us directly at 570-618-2376. And they can schedule a mushroom walk or a mushroom hunt, ask us questions, or check out the online store. We deliver to the entire area, every area that we have a market. It's considered free delivery because it's our market area. Or they can find us at any one of the local restaurants. We work with about 16 restaurants locally in the area. And they can find us there as well, just to try our mushrooms.
Oh, Brian Rolf, you are a wealth of knowledge, and we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
As we closed our conversation, Brian shared with me that his daughter Marley has been a source of inspiration to him for many years, hence the company name Marley's Mushrooms. More information about products, education, and activities is available on Facebook, Instagram, and the webpage Marley's Mushrooms and Wild Foods. Brian Rolf was part of Radio Catskill's Future of Farming special presentation that aired Monday, April 22nd at 10 a.m. You can listen to that special report on WJFFradio.org. We hope that you enjoyed our show this week, with production by Radio Catskill volunteers Keith Hubbard and myself, Rosie Starr. Special thanks goes to our guest, Brian Rolf, from Marley's Mushrooms and Wild Foods in Milford, Pennsylvania. Thanks for listening local to Farm and Country and supporting Radio Catskill, public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Listen on air at 90.5 FM, on your phone or smart speaker, and online at WJFFradio.org. Support for Farm and Country comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, a community-supported, science-based nonprofit taking legal actions, providing tools for action, and raising awareness of fracking damage since 2008, proactively protecting public health in the Delaware River Basin and beyond. DamascusCitizens.org.
Thank you for all the ways you help WJFF Radio Catskill. Your support sustains the news, music, and local voices that make up WJFF. It's only possible because of your generosity. Help keep it going. Consider signing up to be a sound supporter to make sure Radio Catskill has your constant support. Go to wjffradio.org. And thank you for supporting public radio in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.